In the Moment on SDPB is supported by the South Dakota Humanities Council, presenting the South Dakota Festival of Books, September 20th through 22nd in Brookings.
You're listening to In the Moment on SDPB. I'm Lori Walsh. Today we're going to talk a bit about listening and maybe even learning how to listen better. But this hour, we're not listening to become more sophisticated negotiators or more compassionate caregivers or even more engaged citizens. Today, we're listening because it feels good, because life can be hard, because music and poetry sometimes illuminate parts of our lives we didn't know were shadowed. First, we will hear from the U.S. Poet Laureate Ada Limón. Then Gustav Mahler's Symphony No. 3, the first and second movements. In this symphony, the movements originally had titles. We'll hear Pan Awakens, Summer Marches In, and the second movement, What the Flowers in the Meadow Tell Me. But let's get started today with Ada Limón. Our full conversation is available online at sdpb.org, but I pulled this excerpt for you because I wanted to hear again the Poet Laureate's thoughts on approaching art when you might not understand how a particular poem works. I want to ask you about form as a reader. When you're reading a poem and you're following the narrative and it's speaking to you, and maybe you hear some words that are rich in your ears or that feel good to read aloud, but then you're at that next level where you say, I don't understand the white space here. I don't understand why she used these line breaks. And I know enough to know that maybe this is a form, but I'm not going to recognize what it is. How do you read poetry when you're at that point and you want to learn a little more and understand a little more deeply about how it is crafted so eloquently, but you don't even know where to start because you're not going to necessarily take a master's level, poetry class. Does that make sense as a question to you that has an answer?
Yeah, I think that's a beautiful question because I think that, beyond the sort of first interaction with poetry where you think, oh, okay, I'm going to sort of try to understand this. And I think when we think about understanding, we have to stop thinking about understanding necessarily with our structured brain, but instead to absorb poetry the way that we might absorb walking into a forest or the way that we might hear music, that there will be things that we don't understand and there will be things that do make total sense to us. And we can pay attention to both of those things. If you are at a place that you really are receptive to poetry already, you enjoy it, you like reading it, but you're still kind of like, oh, how do I go deeper? How do I maybe teach myself to read this on a different level or to expand my own horizon when it comes to the poetic form? The first thing to do would be to recognize how it makes you feel and to sit with that, go, oh, okay, this is how it's making me feel. Oh, this is interesting. And then to also look for patterns. The patterns are sometimes what we notice in nature, and they're also the same things that we'll notice in poems when they sort of come to the surface, whether a word is repeated, whether a sentiment is repeated, whether there is some sort of line break that keeps happening, whether it's couplets or tercets or happening in twos or threes, if you want to put it more plainly, to look at patterns and then to think about what that intentionality might be around those patterns. That's a nice way to enter the poetic form. But above all, I would really want people to receive it the way they receive music, which is really with our hearts and our feeling center versus our analytic center.
I spent a lot of time with your poem Obedience this weekend and found and maybe you can say more about this, but the way it was affecting me physically indicated to me that I was grieving the loss of my dog, or I was feeling, who died, before the pandemic. So the things that can come up for us when we spend a certain amount of time. So thank you for that poem, first of all. when you see that grief coming up, or you feel that joy or that laughter or that recognition where you rush out and you want to read it to someone else, mm-hmm. what do you do with that when it's showing up in your body?
Yeah, I think that's a really important point that you just made, is that I can have an intention around what I write. And I do have an intention around what I write, what I make. Everything's thoughtfully wrought, if you will. But then when I hand it to someone else, when you're sitting alone and reading that poem, Obedience, for example, which is about my dog is snoring next to me at the moment. she's a 13-year-old pug. That poem becomes yours now. And whatever is happening in your body, whatever you're holding onto, whether it's in your chest or what you have been receiving or holding, that's going to affect how that poem is for you and how you respond to that poem. And that's one of my favorite things about the exchange of the poem once I've written it and you receive it, is that the poem then is yours, and it's your job to let your body react to it however you want. And that kind of enthusiasm and release and kind of an energetic exchange, if you will, I think is really important to the art form itself, is that at some point it's no longer mine, mm-hmm. but it becomes yours. And it becomes about your dog enters it, right? Yeah. Your grief enters it. And that is so beautiful, because it's like I've made a forest and you've gotten to walk into it. And everything that you've carried with you is with you in that moment of stillness.
Here is U.S. Poet Laureate Ada Limón reading her poem,
Obedience. The dog lifts her head from the piles of dead leaves, and at first she is calm, until she is not. She can't find me, not behind the cypress or the still bare viburnum. Betrayer, I am watching from the window, warm behind the doorframe. What is it to be wholly loved like this? God, how desperate she is to find me. Walking toward her, I watch her whole body vibrate when I come into focus. I lift her into my arms because it is what I want. Who doesn't want to hold their individual God, to be redeemed by pleasing the only one you serve?
You can find our full conversation with Ada Limón, the U.S. Poet Laureate, on our website, sdpb.org/news. And now SDPB's Summer with the Symphony. Today, the South Dakota Symphony Orchestra, under the direction of Maestro Delta David Geyer. A performance recorded live from the Washington Pavilion in Sioux Falls, Gustav Mahler's Symphony No. 3. Today, we will hear the first and second movement.
Thank you.
the South Dakota Symphony Orchestra, under the direction of Maestro Delta David Geyer, recorded live in the Washington Pavilion in Sioux Falls. You just heard the first and second movements of Gustav Mahler's Symphony No. 3. On tomorrow's In the Moment, we'll hear more of Mahler, including some context and a story from Maestro Geyer about Leonard Bernstein's visceral description of the pain of Mahler's Third Symphony. That's our show for today. We hope that it served you. From all of us at SDPB, I'm Lori Walsh. Thank you for listening.